Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, at the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation, may be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Easter is about a four-letter word, and Christians are full of that word, or at least we're supposed to be full of it. The four-letter word is life. New life, whole life, abundant life, redeeming life, resurrected life. The purpose of life is not death, Easter says. The purpose of life is life, a life that triumphs over death forever. Celebrating Easter is the best thing the church can do, because it is a celebration of all that is good, of all that is true, of all that is beautiful. In fact, I would make the case this morning that celebrating Easter is the greatest public service the church can perform for the world. Why? Because it is the reality of Easter that makes everything else that we do possible. Remember Jesus' final words from the cross? "It is finished." When the soldiers taking Jesus' body down from the cross stabbed him with a spear point, blood and water came out, we read in John. That rush of fluids revealed what was the final cause of death for Jesus: a burst aorta. Jesus died of a broken heart. The breaking of Jesus' heart was what finished Jesus. On Easter morning, the great surprise is that sacrifice was not the end of Jesus' mission. Out of Jesus' broken heart, there emerged a new heart, a resurrected heart, an unbreakable, unstoppable heart. Out of the last Adam's split side, a new Eve was created, the bride of Christ, the church, whose life revolves around the water of baptism and the blood of communion. On Easter, "it is finished" becomes "now it begins." Now it begins. Life begins anew with the resurrected rhythms of that Easter heart. It is an Easter heart that the resurrected Jesus offered to all who believed in him, all who read the signs and symbols of new life that God had left an empty tomb. The beloved disciple looked in the abandoned grave clothes and believed that Jesus had risen. At that instant, his Easter heart started beating. Mary Magdalene heard her name called with her beloved teacher's own voice, and she saw and believed the risen Lord that stood before her. And at that moment, Mary's Easter heart started beating. And Jesus walked down the road to Emmaus with two of the disciples, and recalling all the things that had happened. And the disciples said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road?" But only after Jesus blessed and broke the bread did the disciples suddenly see and believe. It was that final jolt that jump-started their Easter hearts. Is this church full this morning with people whose hearts are full of Easter? Do you have an Easter heart? Well, how do you know? Let's see. An Easter heart is full of new life. An Easter heart is full of new mission. An Easter heart is full of new possibilities. An Easter church that is filled with Easter hearts continues to offer signs of new life to the world. An Easter heart church throws off old grave clothes. We have to throw off the old grave clothes. Have we shred our shrouds? Death shrouds separate the dead from the living. Death shrouds wrap corpses in fine linens and sweet spices, but they cannot stop the inner decay. Instead of wrapping ourselves in costly, starchy grave clothes, a church full of Easter hearts wears, you ready for this? Wears blue jeans. An Easter heart church is a blue jeans church. It lives its faith in everyday, working day clothes. Clothes that are tough and sturdy and made to get dirty. In fact, jeans get softer and better the more they are worn and washed. In point of fact, the best jeans of all are ripped at the knee. And the blue jean is creased and whitened by years of use. An Easter church is full of rock rollers. Now notice I didn't say rock and rollers. I said rock rollers. The first sign of the resurrection is noted by a distraught Mary Magdalene. And that was that the rock had been rolled away from the tomb's entrance. Everybody, even Jesus' resurrected body, needs to be offered a way out. Rock rollers offer ways out to all sorts of people. To all sorts of people trapped in all kinds of tombs. Strengthened by an Easter heart, we can roll away despair and reveal a path to hope. We can roll away delusions. Delusions like, if I were rich, I'd be happy. Delusions like, all I need is one more drink, one more hit. Delusions like, the next promotion will get me everything I want. We can roll away fear and entice tomb dwellers to step into the light. Rock rolling isn't a one-person job. It takes a community of Easter hearts to get those rocks rolling in the right direction. An Easter heart church is always in a state of arrhythmia, always experiencing adrenaline surges, always skipping beats, always a racing pulse. An Easter heart is an arrhythmic heart because in an Easter heart church, the unexpected is always happening. Resurrection happens. Miracles happen. Truth happens. Goodness happens. Beauty happens. Jesus happens. Thomas doubted all the stories. He defied anyone to produce Jesus with all his wounds. Thomas then said that he would only believe if he could put his fingers into the nail holes and spear wound. And then suddenly, Jesus stood before him in that locked upper room, offering himself to be poked and prodded. Knocking people upside down is the whole concept of reality. Thomas could only exclaim, "My Lord and my God." If you have an Easter heart, you learn to expect the unexpected, to relish the ridiculous, to savor the sensational. An Easter heart church is filled with laughter. The resurrection is a testimony to the adage, "He who laughs last laughs best." The Sanhedrin thought they had the last laugh. The Roman authorities thought they had the last laugh. The cruel crowds and the sadistic soldiers thought they had the last laugh. But the resurrection proved that God had the last laugh. Those who thought they had triumphed over Jesus were soundly trumped by his triumph over death itself. Proving this point of laughter is the custom that exists among no less than the stern, solemn Germanic churches. Down to the Reformation and even later, there was an Easter called the Easter Laughter. A German pastor will intentionally insert jokes into Easter sermons, and the church, they feel, should ring with laughter on Easter Sunday, enjoying full and divine sense of humor. So, being a German pastor, let me tell you a story about a priest and a taxi driver who died and went to heaven. They stood in front of the pearly gates and St. Peter came out and took the taxi driver in and said, here, and they showed him a beautiful mansion, swimming pool. It was gorgeous, a gorgeous mansion for this taxi driver. And then he came to the priest, and he took the priest into heaven, and there was this shack. And he put him in this little shack, had a black and white TV. That was it. And the priest said, how come he gets a mansion and I get this shack with a black and white TV? Well, he said, when you preached, you put people to sleep. When he drove his taxi cab, they prayed. It's good to hear Easter laughter, isn't it? That's good. Finally, and this is the most important sign of an Easter heart church. An Easter heart church is a broken heart. Out of the brokenness comes life. In the Roman Catholic tradition, there's a thing called the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I always had trouble with that for a long time. But I looked at that once and I thought, that's not so bad. Because the heart of Jesus comes out of that broken heart. That heart, his heart that broke on that cross. Now comes a new heart, a new life, a new hope. That's not so bad. Out of the broken heart, like a dawning sun, there's a whole new heart, a throbbing, beat red, strong heart being birthed from the pain of a broken heart. The one image is the best icon of the gospel, I think, is that broken heart bringing forth a new heart. I think it's the best one. The promise of Easter Sunday is not that your heart won't break. In fact, the promise of Easter Sunday is that if you love, your heart will break. For God so loved the world, God's heart broke. The cross is a symbol of God's broken heart. The broken heart is the price of love. Anyone here have children? If you have a child, your heart will break. The price of love is suffering. The price of love is a broken heart. But if Easter is not the symbol of a heart that will never break, it is the symbol of this, that out of that broken heart, God will birth a new heart, a whole heart, a beet red, blood-rich heart. If your heart is breaking on Easter Sunday, is our church's heart breaking this Easter Sunday? If so, are we sure it isn't breaking for the same things that break God's heart? The Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. What a great line. A man with a heart that beats for the least, for the last, for the lost. Do you have a heart after God's own heart? Is your heart beating for the lowest, the least? Are you functioning from a broken heart, or are you functioning from a stone-cold heart? I'm going to close this Easter morning message with the earliest existent record of a prayer in Jewish Christian tradition. You know it. It is the priestly benediction found in Numbers chapter 6. Here it is in its original form. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. And here it is in its altered form by Easter Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and may he be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. And a beat-skipping, blue-jean-laughing, rock-rolling, broken heart. Amen.